Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Glenn Robinson, President and Chief Executive Officer of Hillcrest Baptist Medical Center. Hosting the conversation is Judge Ken Starr, President of Baylor University. This conversation was recorded on November 1st, 2011 at the KWBU studios.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Ken Starr, and I'm pleased to be talking today with Glenn Robinson, CEO of Hillcrest Baptist Medical Center. What a wonderful medical center it is. We're thankful for it in the Central Texas community. Glenn, you were not destined necessarily to be in healthcare administration. In fact, you started out behind a microphone and behind a camera. Tell us that story.
You know, it's kind of wonderful to look back upon your life and some of the things that happen. You wonder, you know, where is this road leading? And I'm very, very grateful for some of the opportunities that I've had. I started out in high school working at the local radio station, and then later through college, working my way through college, working at a radio station, and then later in television. And I was actually anchoring the weeknight news in Mobile, Alabama, and met a fellow who was running a local Greek seafood restaurant. In fact, if you're ever through Mobile, be sure to eat at Russo's restaurant. And John came over to my table and explained to my wife and I that they had just had a special needs child that was born. And he grew up in our community and had always gone to the private hospital in town, never gone to the safety net hospital in Mobile, that's USA Medical Center. And he said, Glenn, you know, we would, you know, really like to be able to tell the people of this community about the great care that we have received there. And he said, it's been just a real surprise to me being a Mobile native. And so the next thing you know, I was doing a 5-part television series on Paul's story about their son Paul. And through that whole experience, got to know the people at the hospital, and they later asked me to come and serve on the board of the hospital. You're now serving on Scott and White Healthcare System, so watch out. We may try to turn you into a hospital administrator.
I would not want to do that to healthcare in the community.
But that's how I got started. And so first in marketing and business development, and then later in operations, and just blessed working for great people that gave me chances I know I did not deserve, and giving me opportunities that have allowed me to move into a COO role, and then about 14 years ago, my first CEO job.
Tell us about the first move. You were behind, you were in front of the camera. I only get behind the camera, but you were in front of the camera anchoring the news. What was your first position?
Healthcare. In healthcare, it was actually putting together a strategic plan for this safety net hospital. It's hard to believe, but even back in the 80s, some hospitals, they had planning departments, but it was more about planning space and planning equipment and that sort of thing versus how to strategically navigate through the changing waters of healthcare. And so that was one of my first jobs, and I look back and I go, boy, I really didn't know anything about what I was doing, and I can't believe those people hired me.
So did you leave journalism?
Not at first. During the first 2 years I worked there, I had started a series at the local TV station called Wednesday's Child, and we featured special needs kids that were available for adoption. And each Wednesday night on the news, there would be a 2 to 2.5 minute segment introducing a little child, or sometimes even an adolescent child that was special needs and needed an adoptive home. And we had done that for a number of years, and it had been a highly watched segment of the news. And so part of the agreement of me leaving the TV station was, would I continue to do that? And I said, absolutely, yes. I mean, this is just a wonderful program that has the ability to change people's lives forever. And so I love doing that and continue to do that for a couple of years.
Well, this is a series on leadership, and obviously the medical care community has a number of challenges. The national debate on the health care plan that has now been adopted by Congress is being implemented. At the same time, there are legal challenges. The Supreme Court will hear this. And so I know you're operating in a very fluid and challenging and dynamic and uncertain background. So tell us about leadership in the medical care community. What are the characteristics and traits that you lift up and aspire to? And obviously you're very respected in your own field. But modesty aside, what are the traits that you find are important with respect to leadership, especially in your now new profession or not so new profession of medical care?
I think that there could not be a more exciting time to be in healthcare. There also, I don't believe there's a more challenging time to be in healthcare as well. I think that what is happening is that we're seeing a country that really does, they're comfortable with their healthcare system. They kind of know we need to change, but boy, you know, the unknown is really causing a lot of people to not get on the bandwagon of healthcare reform. It is not a popular topic, and I think healthcare needs more people to step forward from inside the industry. Not necessarily am I talking about governmental officials, but I'm talking about physicians and hospital administrators, nurses, and others to step forward and saying, we must realize we have got to change this system because we as a country cannot continue to fund it the way in which it's currently funded. More importantly, small employers can no longer continue to accept the rising cost of health care. We have truly have in this country one of the most unbelievable health care systems, but it is a very costly one. And I do believe that good leaders in healthcare right now need to be out there speaking about the changes that must occur within our industry.
So good leadership requires folks to now speak up. What, in your view, needs to be done?
I think that it's going to take a number of different efforts. I think that we have got to figure out ways to transform Medicare. At the same time, we've got to take Medicaid, which is typically in most states a federally funded with state matching funds, helping the folks that we would say that are at risk within our population group. We've got to figure out a better way to deliver Medicaid. And then we've got to, as an entire industry, totally change the way in which we bill and collect for health care. We give people sticker shock every day when they go to the hospital and they have an operation and they open up an envelope that comes from the hospital or comes from their physician and they go, my goodness, I can't believe they're charging this much. And most people think we actually receive the amount that we're charged. It is a crazy system that has just evolved from the 60s so that we're having to, because of contracts that we have with Blue Cross and Blue Shield and other insurance companies, we have to charge them more than we actually expect because they're going to pay us just a percentage of what we charge. And so as a result, the consumer opens up that bill and go, my goodness, I can't believe that that hospital is charging that much, when in reality we're not receiving but often somewhere between 30 and 50% of what actually is charged.
One of the major issues I gather in healthcare that policymakers have been speaking to and legislating about is the uninsured. The many millions of Americans are uninsured. What are, in your views, the role of leadership dealing with that particular seemingly insoluble problem?
Well, I'll talk first on a national basis and then try to bring it right here close to home, because what we have going on here in our local community is really an abundance of good news in that regard. Nationally, it is a huge issue. The number keeps growing annually. We're looking at now somewhere in the neighborhood of about 51 to 53 million Americans that have no ability to pay for their health care. They do get sick. And right now, I think the average person may think, well, you know, I guess they just do without. Well, they don't. They actually need care. It is the right thing to do for hospitals like Hillcrest. It is truly our mission and our ministry to be able to provide care to all of those in our community, regardless of their ability to pay. So where do these 51 to 53 million people receive care? They receive it through the emergency rooms in their local communities. And here's the tragedy. There is not a more costly place to render care than the emergency rooms. But it's the only avenue that these folks have. So part of what health care reform, the legislation that is out there, part of what it does is really allow us the ability to be able to reach out and be able to enroll many of the people that are uninsured into a program that would be similar to Medicaid. And right now, if the legislation stands, you indicated, and you're exactly correct, I think the Supreme Court's going to hear this case before it's all settled out. But if health care reform keeps rolling in the form in which it's in 2014, we are calling for many of the people who are uninsured to be eligible to move into some sort of new insurance program that would be assisted and funded by the government, combining with state funds.
For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Ken Starr, talking today with Glenn Robinson, the CEO of Hillcrest Baptist Medical Center. Let's talk about leadership more generally. It's frequently said that great leaders have had great mentors. Talk about your own mentors and the role of mentoring those who aspire to positions of leadership.
I probably would have to start with my father. My dad passed away when I was in college, when I was 19, due to cancer, age of 54. But he was a gentle giant. He was a young man that grew up in rural Mississippi, received an eighth grade education, went off to World War II, and through the graciousness of a pilot that he flew with, my dad was a top turret operator in B-24s and B-19s, and he was able to work with this fellow who had a law degree that was very gracious and very generous and helped my dad achieve his GED. And then following the war, my dad went to work for a hardware company, and later when he passed away, he was vice president of sales. I would love to think if my dad had had the opportunity to go to college, because he had just a brilliant mind, but more of what he taught us as his children was really the golden rule, in that we must always treat people the way in which we want to be treated. He had a very kind and gentle spirit. He was a strong man, but he had a very tender heart. And I think that he taught us as children that we need to recognize to be able to use all of those gifts that the good Lord's given us. I'm also thinking about other people that that I respect. Certainly, I have to think of also my scoutmaster. He was a postman growing up, and he gave up so many weekends and Monday nights for us for scout meetings. But he had just an unbelievable ability that he taught us leadership. We called it camping and cooking merit badge and swimming and all those kinds of things you get to do as a scout. What he was really teaching us is leadership, and that's what a good scout leader does. And so I'm really grateful for those opportunities to have served at an early age in a leadership role in our scout troop. And there are many other people. I mean, one of the people that I really respect on leadership is you. I was sharing with you earlier before we started this program of how I would watch you during some of the challenging years of your life. And you just did it with grace and ease and just a tremendous strength. And to me, I think those are remarkable fruits of just an awesome leader.
Well, what is the hardest decision you ever had to make as a leader?
I think that without a doubt, it always involves people. As a leader, sometimes we are trying to assemble a team and trying to move people in the right direction. And I think that's what a good leader does sometimes, is trying to, and often this definition is used, and I think it's accurate, is that a good leader encourages people to go places they would not go on their own. And every once in a while you find there's a member or two of your team that is not on the bus. But probably while that's been some of the greatest challenges, some of the greatest joys, has been not throwing them off the bus, but helping them find another seat on the bus, and doing that with a kind and tender heart and a tremendous amount of encouragement, and watching those people replanted and blossom within your organization. That is fun.
And what are some of the do's and don'ts? You mentioned encouragement, and obviously the insight into knowing, as Jim Collins famously says, of in good to great, get the right people on the bus, and of course in the right place on the bus. and then encourage them when they're on the bus. What are some of the other do's, and then what are some of the key don'ts?
I think that if I could apply it to just our role as healthcare leaders, I think one of the most important things is make sure that you spend more time in the hospital, more time where healthcare is being rendered and outside of your office. Our jobs are so demanding in healthcare, I think one could easily justify, well, I'm just going to hunker down in my office all day long. We do that, we really are going to go astray pretty quickly because it's easy to forget why we're there. And the reason we're there truly is for the patients. More importantly, I tell people this often, and it's really true. I don't know a single soul that's ever walked into a hospital and said, my goodness, I wonder how many healthcare executives are here today. Nobody cares. They care about the nurses at the bedside. They care about the therapists who are going to be helping them increase their range of motion after that very painful surgery and those types of things. And so what is really our job as healthcare leaders? It's to take care of those people who are taking care of the patients. And we can't take great care of them if we're not out there rounding and among them. And so I think that's a real big do.
And you spend time walking around. There was once a management theory called management by walking around, that you can't stay inside the office or your cubby. You've got to be out where the activity or the service is being rendered. Can you think of an example of, as a leader in medical care and providing medical care, that you said, by walking around, I am now going to guide this organization to do something that it's not now doing?
I think that probably one of the greatest things that that type of approach yields is one that does not accomplish this overnight. It really takes time, but is building trust so that whoever a person is within the organization feels comfortable approaching you and just sharing their heart with you or giving you a great idea to make the organization better. I see you doing that at Baylor, and I'm encouraged by that. I see you and your wife Alice out, and you're, whether it's at athletic events or just a small gatherings and those types of things. And I think that's how you become a more effective leader, by being willing to change, being willing to accept and embrace new ideas that are not your own. Because I operate off of a very highly sophisticated administrative philosophy, and that's administration comes up with great ideas, maybe every once in a while. The best ideas come from the people, those that are closest to the patient, those that are closest to the physician, those that are closest to the family that is receiving that care. That is so important. And then, as you and I have talked about before, servant leadership is another big do. We should never ask people on our team to do anything that we're not willing to accomplish ourselves. That's so important.
Expand on that. When you say servant leadership, what are you thinking about? What comes to mind?
I think just some simple examples that, to me, it begins in really encouraging everybody. I ask folks, you know, how many people are in our environmental services department at Hillcrest? The answer, about 1,600. It's all of us. We all should be willing to pick up paper in the parking lot, and nobody, including the CEO, is too good to do those kinds of things. And that's not a big deal, but I think it's important to lead by example, that you're wanting to have a very attractive place that's litter-free and those kinds of things. But I think it says more to the people that are around you that you're not too good to get your hands dirty. One of the other things that I enjoy doing is being invited to a department that where I've actually put on scrubs and I work for the day. And I learned so much about that. But the other thing that it really benefits is not only the ideas that I gain, it breaks down further barriers between the folks that are getting the job done every day and leadership, and so that they can open up and really tell us, you know, what's going on in their lives, even what's going on in their families. And to me, I think that's when you really started to become successful as a leader, as to when people can be open and transparent with you and not feel like there would ever be any retaliation or anything like that whatsoever.
For those who are just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Ken Starr, talking today with Glenn Robinson, CEO of Hillcrest Baptist Medical Center. Do you interact with patients?
Absolutely.
Is that part of leadership?
Absolutely. I love rounding inpatient rooms, and just finding out how things are going. And the varying, to me, it's an encouraging piece. I think many leaders are like, oh gosh, I don't want to go in there because something may not have gone right and I don't want to know about it and this, that, and the other. And I think that's just the total wrong approach. I think that we've got to be willing to knock on the door and ask patients, how are we doing caring for you? We encourage our staff at the hospital to always ride the back service elevator so that we leave our front elevators for our guests. But I admit, I cheat every once in a while, and I make sure that the staff knows why I cheat. And the reason is because I get to ride those elevators with families. And instead of just everybody staring at the floor, I love to just say, hi, I'm Glenn, I'm the CEO. Are we taking good care of your family here today? And 99.9% of the time, I get this overwhelming yes, and then they tell me patient or rather employees' names, and then you're able to go back and salute those people and use those as moments of encouragement. And if there is a problem, it's a chance to personally get involved and try to get it fixed. But most of the time, it's a very warm experience.
Being engaged, being active, walking around, interacting, encouraging. Those are some of the themes that you've lifted up. If you had to identify a single most critical characteristic or quality of a leader, what would it be?
It would be hard to separate the words trust and integrity. I think those are always at the top, and it's at the top not just in healthcare, but I think that's what everybody expects in any type of leader, whether it's a leader at our local bank or a leader at our university or a political leader that we've elected to office. And I think that those are things that, as a leader, you can't take for granted. I think you have to be on guard at all times to make sure that you're living above reproach and also recognize you're going to goof up and you're going to make big mistakes, but when you do, own up to them, back up, find reverse quickly, correct it, and then try to accomplish greater good in moving forward. But I think trust and integrity truly are the must-haves.
The legendary mayor of New York, Fiorello LaGuardia, for whom the airport is named, famously said, when I make a mistake, it's a beaut. So one of the many things Mayor LaGuardia was remembered for was he stepped up to it and admitted it. And so in that respect, is there a character trait, or call it a flaw, that poses a real threat to leadership?
I think we would probably turn to the theologians in our community, and I think they would probably tell you the three greatest threats are the three big temptations, and they have to do with power and pride. They kind of go together, and then lust, and then greed. And those are, and if you really take a look at that, I think our theologians are right that just every sin is rooted in one or more of those three things. And I think any good leader must be constantly on guard to protect ourselves. We're not perfect. We're human beings, but we really need to be careful that we, because I think if you look at the downfall of any great leader, you could look to one of those three things, and I think that you would see there was a big boulder in the road they stumbled over.
The Achilles heel.
No question.
What's your theory? Can leadership be taught, or is it innate, or both?
Well, I think we always like to be able to give an either or, but I think the answer really is both. I think that, the way God designs, each one of us, he gives each of us different talents and different skills. As an administrator, I like to use the definition that I know a little bit about everything and a whole lot about nothing, and I think that's the definition of a good healthcare administrator. But I do think that we're born with different talents and different abilities. Then I think it is really up to us to surround ourselves with the right people. I heard a wise person once say that that really two of the greatest determining factors of who we are and who we become are the people that we surround ourselves with and the books we read. And I think it's very important that we surround ourselves with good people, people that will encourage us, people that will also be honest with us and tell us if we're wandering off course, and have that type of accountability. And then I think that we also must be lifelong learners. We must be reading good books and trying to learn more about different subjects.
Is there a difference between leadership on the one hand and management on the other? Are they essentially the same?
There are similarities, but I think that probably a defining line is management is probably more short-term focused on the day-to-day, making sure that the trains run on time, which are very important in any organization, make sure that the customer's expectations are delivered. Leadership, while being responsible for those things, must also be looking to the long term. They must have vision for the organization. They must be able to look out beyond the current day's chaos and realize there's a brighter tomorrow and lead our people in that direction.
Do you think it's possible for an organization to have too many leaders as opposed to too many managers?
Boy, I'll tell you, that's another two-edged sword. I think that if I look at our own industry in healthcare, we need more leaders. And some are formal leaders and some are informal leaders. You think about the care of a patient. The patient really is saying, do the best for me that you possibly can. And so we need nurses who are assertive to make sure that the patient receives the care at the right moment. We need leaders within the organization to make things happen as they are supposed to be. And I think we need leaders in our organization to be looking out beyond the horizon. But at the same time, here's the paradox. I think that a good leader is a servant leader, and a good leader knows when to lead, and a good leader knows when to follow, because the reality of it is we all have bosses. I may be the CEO, but I've got two boards I report to. And then, more importantly, I've got a medical staff of 350 I'm accountable to. And more importantly, I can't let 1,600 associates down each and every day, not to mention the patients that I also see as a real key part of our job. And so I think a good leader must be willing to lead, but a good leader also must know when it is time to follow in that organization and take their cues from someone else.
We talked earlier in our conversation about your mentors. You mentioned in particular your father and your Boy Scout leader, that even though you may have been camping, you were learning leadership skills. In professional life, and specifically in healthcare, have you had a key mentor or mentors? And if so, who were they and why were they so valuable in your professional career?
I've had many. And I think most of us, if we're really honest, we can say that we've had some that taught us what not to do. And at the time, I was not grateful to be serving under them. But as I look back, I am grateful because I learned some very important lessons of to really be a better leader. I should not do a certain thing or have a certain characteristic. But I would say probably without a doubt is a gentleman who is still in healthcare today. His name is Wayne McAllister, and at one time he was my boss. And Wayne just taught me so much about how to be able to lead, not let the hassles of a given day get you down, and to be able to come back and always, always, always do the right thing. Because if you do the right thing every time, then no one can ever really find fault with that.
And where was Wayne?
He was my regional leader when I was actually a CEO at a hospital up in South Carolina. And I think about a call that I got. He and I had been struggling with a particular problem over an issue that we were trying to build a bridge with a particular group of physicians. And he called me back the next day after he'd already left. And he said, Glenn, he said, I was just having my quiet time this morning and I thought of you. And he said, you know, he said, the most important thing here is for you and I to do the right thing, to live with integrity. And he said, I think that we will draw good people to our side that way. And I thought, boy, that's great advice.
The words of a mentor, Wayne McAllister. Glenn, thank you. This is KWBU Leadership Series, and we've been chatting with Glenn Robinson, CEO of Hillcrest Baptist Medical Center. Thank you.
This conversation was recorded on November 1st, 2011 at the KWBU Studios.